you had a happy Thanksgiving and a wonderful time with your family. Letha and I drove to Kentucky Lake in Kentucky. Mike Jr. and his family drove from Texas to Kentucky. Denise and her family from Wisconsin drove to Kentucky with their family. And my adopted daughter, Gina, and her family drove from Iowa to Kentucky, and we all rendezvoused there and had 14 all for 3 days. And the miracle of miracles, we didn't kill each other. We had a good time getting together with the family and rejoicing, eating turkey and ham and all kinds of goodies. So I hope your family had a good time as well. Pastor Larry is down by the coast working with the family, putting down flooring in the basement where the flood destroyed the lower level. So he's working, helping a friend down there today. He asked me to preach for him, and I'm glad to do so. One of the things that I desire most for today is that this place would be controlled, filled, and obedient to the Holy Spirit. I have entitled the message today, After Thanksgiving, What? So if you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to Micah chapter 6, and we'll read that chapter. Now, I heard somebody say, who is Micah? Micah is one of the Old Testament minor prophets. There's Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah. There's 12 minor prophets. Micah is one of those minor prophets. And you said, why is he called minor? Well, it's because of the brevity of his writing, not because of the unimportance of his message. They are minor because they are short works, not like Isaiah and Jeremiah in length, but they're minor in their sense that they are smaller. So, the question remains, after Thanksgiving, what? Micah says in chapter 6, hear now what the Lord is saying. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Listen, you mountains, to the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth, because the Lord has a case against his people. Even with Israel, he will dispute. My people, what have I done to you? And how have I wearied you? Answer me. Indeed, I brought you up from the land of Egypt and ransomed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. My people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, counseled against what Balak, son of Beor, answered him. And from Shittim to Gilgal, so that you might know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the Lord on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings or with yearling calves? But the Lord takes delight in answering. Does the Lord take counsel in delight in thousands of rams? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. The voice of the Lord will call on the city, and its sound wisdom is to fear your name. Hear, O tribe, who has appointed its time? Is there a man in the wicked house, among the treasures of wickedness and short measures of its curses? Can I justify wicked scales and a bag of deceptive weights? For the rich man of the city are full of violence. Her residents speak lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. So also I will make you sick, striking you down, desolating you because of your sins. You will eat, but you will not be satisfied, and your vileness will be in your midst. You will try to remove for safekeeping, but you will not preserve anything. For what you do, I will give to the sword. You will sow, but you will not reap. You will tread the olive, but will not anoint yourself with oil. And grapes, but you will not drink wine. The statutes of Christ and all the works of the house of Ahab are observed, and in their devices you walk. Therefore I will give you up for destruction, and your inhabitants for derision, and you will bear the reproach of my people. Oh my God, I pray tonight today that your spirit would have his way in every heart and life here today. We pray that the Holy Spirit will fill this place with the joy of the Lord, and we will see the hand of God move mightily on your people. We pray for Holy Spirit conviction that results in conversion. Lord, we pray that the Spirit of God will do what needs to be done so that we will know what to do after Thanksgiving. Help us, Lord, to listen. Help us to hear. And help us to obey. We thank you and praise you for your people. Build up those that have been torn down. Strengthen those that are weak. Heal those that are broken. And most of all, Lord, save those that are lost. And for all you do, we'll give you praise and thanks. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, the Lord's indictment. You know, the Bible asks a lot of very important questions. If a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul, what does he profit? That's a good question. Jesus asked the question, who do you say that I am? Others can hear the questions, but the question today is, God says, what have I done? What have I done, God says to his people? I brought you up from the land of Egypt. I ransomed you from the house of slavery, and I sent you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. And you rejected all of them and spurned my love and refused to obey my voice. What have I done, Israel? And the question remains this morning, Diamond Hill, what have we done? What has God done to us and for us? He sent us his son Jesus to die on the cross and pay our sin debt. And because of that, we have praise and thanks and glory to God because of what he has done for us. He has done what no one else could do. He has sent Jesus to save us from our sins. Somebody can say hallelujah. So the Lord's indictment was, people remember. Remember Balak, king of Moab. He wanted to curse God's people. You know that story. And he went riding on a donkey, and the donkey spoke to the prophet because of his madness. When he didn't perceive what God was saying and what God was doing, Balaam, son of Peor, pronounced blessings instead of cursings. Finally, and the son of righteousness in all of his acts is righteous altogether. What I want to say this morning is this: whatever God does is best. Whatever God says is right. And when God speaks, we need to listen. Isaiah said in 55, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the unrighteous man forsake his ways, and let the wicked man forsake his ways, and let him return to the Lord, for he will abundantly pardon. God is gracious, merciful, loving, forgiving, and kind, and he wants to build his people up. So after Thanksgiving, what do? We need to respond to God's call. We need to hearken unto the indictment that God has made against us. Second, not just the Lord's indictment, but the Lord's requirement. So in Micah chapter 6, God asks the question, what does the Lord require? What does he require? Three things. Look at verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but do justice? You know, and I know, that if you've got enough money, you can go to court and get by with almost anything. That's not justice, that's perversion of the law. But God says, do justice. Do the right thing. Second, he says, he requires of us to love kindness. I remember when I was in school, my teacher said, Mike, the Bible says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. I was a fiver and a scrapper. But she said, be kind. That's what the Lord requires, to do justice, love kindness, and three, to walk humbly with your God. What does it mean to walk with God? Well, we walk in obedience. If you're going to walk with God, you got to obey what he says and do what he tells you to. If you're going to walk with God, you got to exercise faith. The gun rights people in America says we walk by faith and we shoot by sight. We walk by faith, but we shoot by sight. Walk with God in obedience. Walk with God in humility. Walk with God in faithfulness. And when you walk with God, when you do justice and you love kindness or mercy, that's what you do after Thanksgiving. Third, the Lord's question, look at verse 6. And what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the God of, on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings? What's the answer to that question? No. God does not require burnt offerings. Should I come to God with yearling sacrifices? Yearling calves? No. God doesn't require us to kill animals and sacrifice them anymore. You know why? Because Jesus, the Lamb of God, paid our sacrifice with his blood on the cross. We have a living Lord Jesus Christ who is our sacrifice for sin. Then he asked the question, here's these questions, listen to these questions. Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts? You know what he's asking? Should I take my firstborn son and sacrifice him for my own sin? The answer is a resounding no! God doesn't require child sacrifice. Think about this. Shall I offer the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? No. But God did. God sent his son. By the way, do you know why God hates sin? Two main reasons. God hates sin because it cost his son his life. And the second reason God hates sin is because of what it does to his people that he loves. Sin will wreck your life. Sin will ruin your relationships. Sin will destroy your values and cause you to have heartache and sorrow and pain and grief like nothing else can in the whole world. God hates sin. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to grow and mature and be steadfast in the Lord. Sin harms that and keeps that from happening. Can I justify wicked scales? Look at verse 11. Can I justify wicked scales? And a bag of deceptive weights of people were cheating one another with scales that were not right and with weights that were unjust. They had their thumb on the scale. And God said, can I justify that? Can I think of that as being right? No way. Is there a man in the wicked house? Look at verse 10. Is there a man in the wicked house along with treasures of wickedness and a short measure that is cursed? These are probing questions. Have you cheated? Are you defrauding one another? God calls us after Thanksgiving to live godly lives, righteous lives, holy lives, and open before the Holy Spirit of God. Now, number four, the Lord hates sin. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, he hates six things, and seven things are an abomination to him. Listen to what they are. God says, I hate haughty eyes. I hate a lying tongue. I hate hands that shed innocent blood. I hate these divisive wicked plans, hearts that devise wicked plans. God hates false witnesses who bear false witness and utters lies. And God says, and who spread strife among brothers? God hates those who spread strife among brothers. Now, question. Are you guilty? Have you sought strife among brothers? Have you told lies? Have you been involved with things that are inappropriate? I have an accountability group. We ask each other six questions. Have you been in the Word daily this week? Have you prayed for the lost this week? Have you witnessed to somebody about Jesus this week? Have you exposed yourself to any sexually explicit material? Have any of your financial dealings lacked integrity? Number six, have you just lied to me? The Lord hates sin. He hates it in your life and in my life. And he calls us to holy, godly living. We are to be godly examples to the world. Set your standard not by your fellow man, but by Jesus Christ himself. He is our example. He is our standard. He is our holy one. He calls us to godly, righteous, holy living. Peter said it this way. You are a holy people, a righteous nation, a people for God's own possession, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into light. You are called to be a holy, righteous, godly people. No, after Thanksgiving, live right. I remember talking to a church one time and said, I don't care how loud you clap, how high you jump, or how much you praise the Lord. When your feet hit the ground, you got to walk straight. God's not impressed with our acts if we don't walk right and talk right and live right. God hates sin. Number five. Here's the result of God's judgment. The results of God's judgment are, I will make you sick, striking you down. Look what it says there. Verse 13. So also I will make you sick, striking you down, desolating you because of your sins. He said you will eat, but you'll not be satisfied. After Thanksgiving, how many of you filled up your belly with turkey? But you know what? Tonight you still get hungry again. Satisfaction comes from knowing that you've done what is right. Godliness with contentment is great gain, the Bible says. So satisfaction comes from walking right, talking right, and living right. He says you'll gain, but you won't preserve anything. You accumulate a whole bunch of stuff, but you don't preserve it. You will sow but not reap. Look what it says, verse 14. You will sow, but you will not reap. You will tread the olive, but will not anoint yourself with oil. When they had the oil, the olive oils, they'd trample them out and press out the oil. And they'd use that oil to make their skin shiny. He says, you'll tread out the olive, but you won't anoint yourself with oil. And you'll tread out the grapes, but you'll not drink the wine. He goes through a list of all the things that is a problem. But listen to the last judgment. I will give you up for destruction, God says. Look what it says in verse 16. Therefore, I will give you up for destruction and your inhabitants for derision, and you will bear the reproach of my people. Oh, that must grieve the heart of God to say, I'll give you up to destruction. God wants us to live holy lives. He wants us to enjoy the beauty of his creation and to share the blessings of God with the whole world. God intended for America to take the gospel to the whole world. We have Light of Christmas offering, which is international missions offering. We have state missions offering, which stays in the state. And we have a social mission which stays here in our local association. Three offerings. And our Easter offering, Lighting Food Christmas offering, and State Missions offering. I want us to give generously to the Lighting Food Christmas offering, but I want you to know, God wants us to live right. God wants us to do right, and God wants us to speak right. Have you talked to somebody this week about Jesus? Always mention the name Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Let me say it with all my heart. Judgment Day is coming. And you will stand before a holy God to give an account of your life that you lived while here on earth. Now the Bible clearly says that we have passed out of death into life because we have loved the Lord. And when you love Jesus, judgment is passed. For the Christian will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and you know what he's going to do? He's going to pass out rewards for those that have served him faithfully. You'll be given even a reward for a cold cup of water. Are you serving the Lord with gladness? Are you obedient to the Lord in your witness and walk? Are you doing the thing that God will have you to do? I want to say, after Thanksgiving, what? Live right, walk right, do right, speak right, and share Jesus with the world. That's what you do. After Thanksgiving, let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you today for your word. And I do pray that you'll help us to take it to heart and let the Holy Spirit apply it to our lives. Help us today to realize that, God, you have called us out of darkness because you hate sin. And you desire for each of your children to walk in truth and to walk in the light and to walk in obedience to your word. So give us a passion to share Jesus with those we work with, those we meet along the way, and to those that we deal with every day. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you most of all for giving us Jesus to help us know the truth and walk in integrity. May your Holy Spirit have his way in the hearts of your people today in this invitation. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.